Today, I'm starting a new sermon series called Creating a New Beginning. And after what we went through this past year, who isn't ready for a new beginning? The good news for us is that God is in the business of creating new life and fresh starts. Now, today we'll study a passage of Scripture from the book of Genesis. We'll look at the first five verses of this book. And the New Testament... Oh, I'm really messing things up today. Okay. So I am, how about the, yeah, I was, so with the camera down here, I was moving around. Is that better? Okay. Okay. So take three. Are we all set? Okay. So everybody, we good? Okay. So this is the sermon for this Sunday, January the 10th. Today, I'm starting a new sermon series called Creating a New Beginning. And after what we went through last year, who isn't ready for a new beginning? The good news for us is that God is in the business of creating new life and fresh starts. And today, we'll look at a scripture passage from the book of Genesis. We'll look at the first five verses of this book. And the Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann calls this section of scripture, or summarizes that. All right, I'm messing up like crazy. This is going to take forever. I know. It's been 3 weeks almost. Take two. Today I'm starting a new sermon series called Creating a New Beginning. I didn't like the way that sounded. That was, ugh. There we go again. Today I'm starting a new sermon series called Creating a New Beginning. And after what we went through last year, who isn't ready for a new beginning? The good news for us is that God is in the business of creating new life and fresh starts. Today we'll look at a scripture passage from the book of Genesis. We'll look at the first five verses of this book. The Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann has summarized this section with three words: Creator, creates, creation. And that, of course, is what happens in the story of creation. Now, the first chapter of Genesis has a cosmic tone to it. God is the only one present as he starts creating the world out of a dark void. And the image of God that we see here is one of total power, total control, and infinite imagination. And the creation itself is truly amazing. So let's listen now to our scripture text. I'll read the first five verses of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and the darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. So the book of Genesis opens with the words, "In the beginning, when God created." And those are some of the most significant words in the Bible. Think about it. Adam and Eve, Abraham and Moses, Isaiah and Jeremiah, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and even Jesus would not have walked on this earth without the Lord creating it and creating life itself. Our world and everything in this universe got its start with God creating. I've always wondered, though, what was God doing before he decided to create? We don't know what God was doing before this. Perhaps God was just chilling out, doing the things that God did before he started creating. But then something happened. Something led God to create. I wonder what caused this. Why did God decide to bring everything that we know into existence? Was God bored? Was God lonely? Was God looking to invent or build something? Or did curiosity spark an idea that God wanted to bring to fruition? And did God know what would happen next, where so many good things would come forth? While we don't know what happened before creation, we can affirm that creation itself is amazing. God brought life and order out of chaos. And I want to point out that chaos in Genesis isn't an evil force, but rather one of the necessary ingredients for creation. Now, just before the Lord started creating, Genesis says in verse 2 that the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep. The Hebrew word for the deep is Tehom. It literally means a watery place. And throughout the Bible, these waters are a symbol of chaos. One such example is seen in the story of the flood found in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. It is Tehom, or the waters of the deep, that return the world to chaos. The flood wiped out everything except for Noah and his family and the creatures on his boat. It was all wiped out by Tehom. But out of this chaos, God recreated the world. The point I'd like you to hear is that creation came from chaos. And according to Genesis, God did not create the universe out of nothing, but instead made it out of a dark, formless, chaotic space. You might even picture in your mind a space filled with swirling gases and particles. And from that, God started making things. But where did the chaos itself come from? I think the best way to answer that question is to remember that there are two sides to creation. There's the uncreated side, and then there's the created side. God, and only God, belongs on the uncreated side. Everything else was made. Everything else was created. And when God started creating, the whole process felt chaotic and messy. It's like the process that artists use. When they start making a painting or a sculpture, things look really messy in the beginning. But the end product is beautiful and inspiring. This is a lot like what God did in creation. The Lord took chaos and used it for his creative work and began shaping it to be in harmony with his purposes. This is what creation is all about. And God continues to shape creation in this way. Genesis says that a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. The Hebrew word here for wind is the word ruah. It can also be translated as spirit or breath. This word reminds us that God's spirit can come to earth as a mighty wind, and that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. But God's spirit can also come as a gentle breath, like when Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Wind, spirit, breath. These three important words are at the heart of God's creative work. Now, sometimes God's spirit creates in ways that require a mighty wind. And sometimes God's spirit creates in ways that require nothing more than a gentle breath. Now, Genesis tells us that over the course of a week, God spoke into existence the whole universe and everything in it. Light was created first, which is essential for life. And then God created water, land, the sun and the moon, fish and birds, animals and people, and vegetation for food. And with each creation, God said it was good. But God's creative work did not end on the seventh day. It has continued throughout history through the words of the prophets, the teachings of Jesus, and the ministry of the church. And the diversity that we see in creation speaks to just how creative and amazing God really is. And all of this came out of chaos. Now, God is not intimidated or shaken or disturbed by chaos. Instead, God takes it and makes something incredibly good. And that's a reminder that the chaos and the messes that we see in the world are simply ingredients needed to produce something good, something truly creative. And God invites us to be creative so that we can help create a better world where all people can thrive. But this requires curiosity on our part. See, curiosity leads us to dream new dreams, see new possibilities, and learn new things. It's a lack of curiosity that keeps us from moving forward, and ultimately, it will stifle our ability to flourish. That really is the story of China in the 15th century. Back then, China had already created all the technologies needed to launch an industrial revolution, which, by the way, was 400 years before it happened in the West. See, the Chinese had invented furnaces for making steel. They created the compass and the rudder, both of which are essential to exploration. They developed paper and movable type for printing. They made mechanical cedars for farming. They came up with the decimal system, negative numbers, and the concept of zero for mathematics. The Chinese even sent 7 different expeditions that explored the Indian Ocean with ships 4 times as large as those used by Columbus. The Chinese had all the ingredients for an industrial revolution, but it didn't happen in the 15th century. And it didn't happen because they had become uncomfortable with the changes that were happening. Life felt chaotic. New technologies were perceived as threats rather than as opportunities. And eventually, innovation was forbidden. As one example, imperial rules and regulations prohibited the building of new ocean-going ships that would allow people to travel beyond China. And so, in other words, exploring the world was taken off the table for the Chinese people. And by the end of the 15th century, curiosity had been snuffed out. And this happened because people wanted less change and more order and stability. Now, without curiosity, creativity is stifled. And this matters to our faith because God is inviting us to join in the creative processes of life. We're invited to help make the kingdom of God more visible to the world today. And that means when life is chaotic, when things are a mess, we can join with God in making something good. Now, we're currently living in a messy and chaotic time. The problems around us seem to get bigger and bigger all the time. And in some respects, it feels as though we're living in an in-between time. In one sense, we are living in an in-between time between a pre-pandemic world and a post-pandemic world. And we have the hope that life will improve soon. But in a broader sense, we're living in the time between when Jesus walked this earth and when he'll return to us to fully reconcile the world and all of creation to God. And here, we have the hope that all things will be made right in the end, where there'll no longer be any pain or suffering, or injustice, or any kind of wrongdoing. But we're not there yet. And we're not exactly the people God wants us to be, because our sin keeps getting in the way. The good news is that through Jesus Christ, we're being changed and transformed. We're being made new. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:29, that God has declared that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so despite our imperfections and failures and sin, we can live with the confidence that we are being transformed into new creations through Jesus Christ. Now, this doesn't suddenly take away the troubles or the chaos that are present in our lives or in the world, because we're still living in an in-between time. And in-between times are tough. They make us feel uncomfortable. And yet, they're opportunities for us to be curious and creative and to do things we haven't done before. As we stand at the beginning of a new year, I invite you to picture in your mind the year as a blank canvas. What do you envision in your future this year? What is God leading you to do? And what will you create in this blank space? Gutzon Borglum was a fantastic sculptor. He was the artist who designed Mount Rushmore and the carvings on Stone Mountain in Georgia. He also created the head of Abraham Lincoln in the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. And the way that he created Lincoln's head was by cutting it from a block of stone in his studio. One day when the face of Lincoln was just becoming recognizable out of the stone, a young girl was visiting his studio with her family. She looked at what he was working on, trying to figure out what it was. And she stared at that stone for a moment and then asked, "Is that Abraham Lincoln?" And the sculptor said it was. And so this little girl asked, "How did you know he was inside there?" Have you ever imagined what God saw in the dark, chaotic space before creating the heavens and the earth? Have you ever considered what God sees in the chaos in today's world? And have you ever thought about what God sees in us and the kind of people He's shaping us into? Sometimes it is hard to imagine these things. It can be hard for us to see any good coming out of the messes that we see in our world. But today we can affirm the truth that God is the one who creates life out of chaos and calls it good. And God continues to create new life in each of us through Jesus Christ and is inviting us to join in His work of creation. And we're able to do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. God calls us to live out our new life in Christ in a wild and chaotic world. But to do this, we need to live with curiosity, and we'll need to take some risk and do things that we haven't done before. There are lots of problems in our world and in our personal lives that create chaos for us, and they don't always have clear solutions. But when we approach them with curiosity and with faith, we can discover new possibilities and see things in a new light. The world is a messy and chaotic place, but let's remember that God takes the chaos and is shaping it to be in harmony with His purposes. God is creating something new today. God is creating new opportunities and new life for each of us. And the Lord is inviting us to join in the creative work of building up the kingdom of God. Today, I encourage you to invite God's creative spirit to dwell in your heart and to lead you to new life and to lead you to new opportunities in the year ahead. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we praise You for Your creative work. You bring life and order out of chaos, and You continue to create new opportunities and new life for all of us. We're grateful that You are transforming us in our world. And we pray that we will look to You and listen to Your word so that we might grow into the people You've created us to be, and that we will work to build up Your kingdom on this earth. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.